What's up, Bryce? This is Jeremy, three-time Survivor player, one-time Survivor winner, and I don't even know why I'm even hitting you up, man. You know I don't like you. You know I hear all the trash you talk on Rob Has a Podcast, running your mouth, talking about Val's your favorite. Yo, I hear all that. You think I don't hear you, yo? Listen, and you know what? A secret. You send Christmas cards, and I rip them up before Val sees them. Yeah, take that. But I see you doing your thing. You know, you got your hand a little bit of everything. You know, you got your songs out. You got your podcasts out. You know, I got a wine glass here and there. You know what I mean? A Purple Pants wine glass. Like, I'm going to break it. So, it's because I don't like you, Bryce. But I see you doing your thing. And I'm going to give you a little love right now. Because you know why? Because it's a Purple Pants podcast.
It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. I am your host, Bryce Isaiah, and thank you for tuning in for another episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. Want to give a shout out to my Purple Pants posse. What's popping? What's going on? Want to give a shout out to all of our new listeners. Hello, hello, hello. And if you don't know, now you know. We go together. What's popping? You listening to this podcast? We go together. We together. We stuck for life. Either way, old or new, welcome to the podcast. But before we get into this podcast, if you guys could subscribe to my podcast on Apple Podcasts, if you guys could give me a 5-star rating, if you could write your boy a review, okay? Tell a friend to tell a friend. It is greatly appreciated. Now, what's everyone been up to? I know it's been a crazy couple of days, and I hope everyone is well. I hope your family is well. I hope you chilling. What I've been up to? Well, listen, I've been busy as a quarantine bee. And being busy for me has been really helpful because last week was a lot for me. And I'll share a little bit, you know, last week the Intimacy Podcast came out and it was really well received. But it took your baby boy on an emotional toll just because everything that was going on with the country, everything that was happening, everything that is happening, still happening right now, it was a lot. And so for me, I just had this sense of sadness, of mourning, just a lot was going through my head last week. So I appreciate everyone that reached out to me, that texted me, that, you know, sent me DMs on the Twitters, on the Facebook. I appreciate it. But, you know, your baby boy was struggling a little bit just because it was so much to just take in and just really being like, wow, it's 2020 and we are still, I'm still fighting the same things that my great grandmother was fighting. And it's just a hard emotion to explain because I don't know how to explain it. I can only just say I felt a sense of sadness. And I had great talks with very close friends, with my family members, with my mom, that were able to guide me and help me put my emotions and my feelings and things, you know, just help me kind of get my mind together because it really was all over the place, just given the state of everything that's going on. Over the weekend in Philadelphia, protests took out again. And, you know, on Saturday and Sunday, people came out and showed out in very peaceful protests. And, you know, your baby boy was right there, okay, on the front lines because I'm very passionate about this subject. And, you know, I can't just sit and talk on a podcast. You know, I gotta let my actions do the talking for me. So, you know, I just, you know, was quiet and I went out and I showed out and I was so grateful to see everyone that came out. When I went back and saw on the news how many people, there was thousands of people in Philadelphia and in the surrounding areas and in the suburbs like Saturday and Sunday. And yes, this is what it's about, really getting our message heard. Okay. And it ain't just about protesting. It's about using your platform. It's about educating people. It's about taking it back to your communities. It's really a wake up call for a lot. But my thing is like, I guess your alarm clock's been broke because this been happening for years. But listen, we here now. And I believe I saw on the news somewhere that this was the largest civil rights movement in this country's history. All states, okay, in the United States participated in some type of protest and even abroad. So I was like, yes. And when I was talking to Barb about it, she was like, you know, your great grandmother, Mama, Madeline was her name, but we called her Mama. She was like, you know, Mama would be so proud of you. Mama was very much in the civil rights movement. And she just would be so proud of you. And you're like, you know, Mama's blood is running through you. And a little Black history fact that I didn't know was that my family, my mother's family, was originally from Albany, New York. And they had moved down to the Philadelphia area in the 1950s because my great grandfather was sick. And what I didn't know was that my great grandmother, Mama Madeline, was a beautician, and they actually owned a hair salon in West Philadelphia, and they were the first Black owned business in West Philadelphia. So my great grandmother owned a beauty shop, and maybe a couple of years later they bought the building adjacent to it, and so they had a beauty shop, and my great grandfather was a barber. So they owned the first Black owned business in the West Philadelphia area on 60th Street. And so I was just like, wow, like, yes, okay, Black girl magic, okay. I'm just like, and just hearing those stories that like normally would have not been talked about if it wasn't for a situation like this, and it just like made me so excited and proud. And my mom was like, yes, Mama would be so proud of you. So I was like, I gotta take this back to my Purple Pants posse, okay? Yes. So I love it. But I'm excited for this week's episode. I got a lot to unpack with you guys. So yes, let me give you the rundown of what's going on this week. We've got our church announcements this week. On the menu this week, I've got an update about George Floyd and the Minneapolis police. I have the New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees on the menu. I've got Carol Baskin on the menu. I'm running down Insecure again for you guys. And Aaron and Missy from season 39, Islands of the Idol, stop by to let us know what's popping with them. We've got our Purple Pants picks, advice with Bryce, and Freak of the Week. Okay, so listen, I'm excited for this episode. So without further ado, let's get into this podcast.
Welcome to church. It's a church announcement, so now welcome to church.
All right, so for this week, for our church announcements, I just got three short, quick church announcements, but less, I just want to get them out there to the Purple Pants posse. First church announcement, I want to give a shout out to our new Purple Pants interns. Shout out to my girl Audrey and Sophia. Yes! After a couple rounds of interviewing a lot of people for our Purple Pants podcast intern, you know, Jack and I really felt that Sophie and Audrey were a great pick. So I'm so excited to welcome to the team Audrey and Sophia. Yes! Okay, we out here doing big things. Just want to give a huge shout out to them as they help me help us grow together, because you know, listen, you on the Purple Pants posse, we go together. So I'm excited for our interns. So just a big shout out to Sophie and Audrey. I'm very grateful for you. Next on the church announcements, I just want to draw your attention and let you know, listen, we on the Instagram under Purple Pants Podcast, and we have recently created a Twitter account, okay, Purple Pants Pod. So listen, make sure if you're listening to this podcast right now, scroll on over to Twitter and make sure you give us a follow, okay, because we're going to be dropping some exclusive material to Twitter and, you know, just try to get more engaging as this podcast grows and, you know, we go together. So listen, make sure you keep a lookout for that. Follow us, Purple Pants Pod, on the Twitter and Purple Pants Podcast on the Instagram. Next on the church announcements, I just want to give a huge congratulations to the class of 2020. Yes! I know it's been very unconventional for a lot of you guys not having a graduation ceremony, but listen, that don't stop the hard work that you guys have put in throughout all of these years. And listen, I'm talking pre-K, okay? I'm talking eighth grade. I'm talking middle school. I'm talking high school. I'm talking vocationary school. I'm talking college. I'm talking master. I'm talking doctorate degree, okay? I'm talking CNA. I'm talking mechanics. I'm talking beauty school. Listen, if you graduating, listen, congratulations. I just want to give a huge shout out to the class of 2020. Listen, y'all going on to amazing things. I know this, okay? I know this. And listen, I got my nephew, my Scooshy Pooshy. He graduated graduating high school, going to college. My niece, my pumpkin, graduating from high school, going to college. Okay, there's so many graduations around me. I'm so excited, and I just want to give everyone a shout out. Happy class of 2020. Listen, don't let this quarantine, don't let none of this that's going on stop you from celebrating your accomplishments. I am very proud of you all. So listen, I had to put that on the church announcements. And that's going to conclude this week's church announcements. And listen, let's keep this podcast rolling.
It's a man who, it's a man you, meat and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you, meat and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew.
All right, welcome to the menu of the Purple Pants Podcast. We've got George Floyd and the Minneapolis Police. But first, I just want to give a big thank you to everyone that listened to my last podcast, Intimacy, with an open heart and an open mind. I greatly appreciate it. I greatly appreciate all the shares. I'm appreciative of the conversation that it has started. I am overwhelmed by the response of people like reaching out and saying thank you, thank you, thank you. But truly, there's nothing to thank about me. I'm just delivering a message that I felt that was in me, and that I had to be open and honest and share with you guys how I felt. And it truly warmed my heart to see that it was received and that you guys were listening. That touched me in a way that I never knew a podcast could bring to me. And so I am happy to always deliver. First of all, you know, here we go together. So I'm always going to tell you how I feel, good, bad, or indifferent. I'm just happy that you guys are listening and want to help and want to be a part of the change and be an ally. And so for that, I can't thank you enough. And so back to George, I just wanted to say that the other three officers that were on the scene with Derek Chauvin was the one that had his foot or his knee on his neck. There was an officer manning the crowd and two other officers on his body that on Wednesday, June 3rd, they all were charged and arrested. Okay, listen. They were charged with aiding and abetting second degree murder and aiding and abetting second degree manslaughter. Yes, I'm very happy that they were arrested and charged. But listen, I won't be happy until there is justice for George. OK, and justice for me, for George, is conviction. OK, I want to see these officers placed in jail. And listen, I want all of them to be placed in jail. So the fight isn't over. And really what we need is reform. But I'm going to get into that a little later when we talk about the Minneapolis police. But I just wanted to say that. And you guys say, what does this protesting, these people looting do? This is what it does. Okay. This is what it does. It brings conviction. Because best believe if that police force would have had it their way, we would have never heard about this. We would never have seen about this. And George Floyd would have been another statistic according to them. And business as usual. So that's what this protest does. That's what us speaking out about it is. That's what us saying Black Lives Matter does for the movement. Okay. It gets us convictions. Okay. Well, not convictions. It gets us charges. Okay. And we're going to get them convictions. Best believe. Okay. Because listen, like he had his foot on his neck, baby. We ain't taking our foot off they necks, okay? Until we get convictions. Okay. Until we get some reform in this nation. Because it ain't, tonight. Hey, I gotta calm myself down. So I get so excited because but listen, like I said before, just like Derek Chauvin had his knee on George's neck, listen, we gonna put our knee on their neck. And what I mean by that is, listen, we calling these politicians, we calling these city councilmen, we are protesting, we gonna keep our foot on the gas until we get justice. Now back to our good brother George Floyd. He was laid to rest on Monday, June 8th in Houston. He had a very powerful funeral. There were a lot of political leaders, a lot of like well-known celebrities that came out, and it was very touching. I couldn't watch all of it, to be honest, because again, there was a toll on me, but I was able to watch a little bit of what Reverend Al Sharpton was saying. And it was just crazy to hear Reverend Al Sharpton in his whole career that, you know, he's essentially been fighting for the same thing. And look, we are 2020 still going through this. But there will be other services for George all throughout the country. And I believe there was one on Thursday, June 4th. And there's going to be one on Monday, June 8th, that, you know, just the celebration of his life and the funeral so that people can pay their respect for George Floyd. Another thing that has come out of the killing of George Floyd is, listen, the Minneapolis Police Department. OK, baby, again,
When people say, well, what does this protesting do? What does this rioting and looting do?
Listen, it brings awareness and it brings people to understand what's happening. And listen, okay, and listen, follow me. Y'all know, I be butchering the words. But listen, in Minneapolis, 9 members of the Minneapolis City Council, a veto-proof majority, pledged on Sunday to dismantle the police department, promising to create a new system of public safety in the city where law enforcement has long been accused of racism, saying that the city's policing system could not be reformed. The city council members stood before hundreds of people gathering late in the Monday on the grassy hill and promised to begin the process of taking apart the police department as it exists now. For activists who have been pushing for years for the drastic change to policing, the move represents a turning point that they hope will lead to a transformation of public safety in the city. Now listen, Purple Pants Posse, we about to enter another uncomfortable subject, but I feel like it's important for us to have. Now, I think this move is terrific, and I love the fact that these city council members said that they could not reform the policing system. Yes, you can't reform a racist system. And I understand people are saying, like, not all cops are bad. I'm not saying that all cops are bad. I come from a military family, and I have people in my family that are police officers, and I don't believe that they are bad. But what I am saying is that you can't reform a racist system. And what do you mean, Bryce, when you say reform a racist system? Well, this is what I mean when I say you can't reform a racist system. Let's look at the history of the police in our nation. And not let's look at the history. Let's look at where police came from in this nation. Do you all realize that the origin of police departments and police in this nation came back in the day from slave catchers? Oh, did you know that? That back in the day, that each town, each little city, they used to have people that would catch slaves, and then they soon unified to become bigger forces. But yes, the origin of police in this country was slave catchers. Like, they used to catch the runaway slaves. And so, like, that's what the foundation of this police department in this nation was built on. So it's no wonder that we see these systemic issues resurfacing. Okay, back in the Jim Crow laws, that police were used to enforce segregation. So this is what I'm saying, that this is a long rooted problem and we can't reform it. Okay, and I applaud those councilmen and women for coming to that conclusion and saying, like, we need to start over. And I'm here for it. And I know that there's been a lot of trend going on around the country saying, like, defund the police. And when I first heard that, I'm like, well, wait a minute, what is going on? But back when I did a little more research, and I encourage you all, Purple Pants Posse, to do your research and look at these police funds and these police budgets of these major cities and see how much money they are giving to this police force, these police force around the nation. I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on with all that money? I'm a social worker here, and we barely have enough money to ensure the safety of these children that I work for. So I'm just confused as to the breakdown of all of this money going to. So at first I was like, wait a minute, they don't need $80 million. Okay, listen. Listen, break it down, Bryce. They don't need all that money. And I'm just saying, and if y'all going to practice these type of tactics of continually to kill unarmed black men, of continually to be the aggressor in these issues, when we see the same issues that happen to a white person, you guys aren't aggressive at all. You know, I've seen countless videos of white men arguing with the police, okay, in their face, getting out of their cars, and the police just stand there. But yet, as soon as the police officer does a traffic stop and walks over to a man of color in a car, they got their hand on the trigger. Like, come on now, that ain't right. And so I'm saying, if y'all want to continue to practice these things, then listen, let's defund them, okay? Let's take some of that money and put it where we can actually use it. Our social services, okay? Many other places, the homeless, so many other places. But what I liked a lot from what I was reading about some of these cities that are thinking about taking apart the police department and, you know, essentially like reorganizing a public safety, I like some of the models that they were using social workers, bringing them to the scenes to help de-escalate. Hello? Yes. And so I just like what I'm reading. And again, I don't know how this is all going to shake out, Purple Pants Posse, but I'm just bringing you the information that I heard. And listen, I'll continue to report on it and tell you how I feel about it. Now, I might get more information and be a little more educated and bring back a different message. But I'm just saying this is what I heard so far. And I would encourage you all to look into this and, you know, report back to me. Tell me what you find. I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm just letting y'all know how I feel about the situation. And I appreciate you guys for listening. So let's keep this menu rolling, okay? Whoo, chile. Mr. Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints, the quarterback. Baby, I got a word for you. So listen, he was doing an interview, y'all, with Yahoo Finance and, you know, the protests and everything that was going on in the country. And the interview asked him, like, his thoughts on the protests and everything. And Drew Brees, of course, had to take the stance of, I can never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag. And I think that he went on to say, I love and respect my teammates and I stand right there with them in regards to fighting for racial equality and justice. Brees also said, I also stand with my grandfathers who risked their lives for this country and the countless other military men and women who do on a daily basis. And this is where my problem comes in with Mr. Drew. Miss Drew B. Come on in here, Drewby. Okay, because one, so let it's class time with Brycey, Drew. So one, Drew, okay, but y'all about to say his name 1,000 times. One, Drew, okay, the protest that Colin Kaepernick started, okay, in 2016 when he took a knee to police brutality was in no way, shape, or form to disrespect our flag, okay? He actually took a knee to pay respect, but he wanted to raise attention to it. Okay, the tension to the police killing unarmed African-American men that we see is that was in 2016. And here we are in 2020 and it's still happening. So that's what the protest was for. And what confuses me about this whole situation is that that's what Colin Kaepernick said. That's what he said the protest was. But everyone wants to change this narrative. Oh, they disrespecting the flag. Oh, they are, you know, they not respecting our military. No, we ain't never said that. Like, that's never what the cause has been. Okay. And then it's like, listen, this is going to be another topic for another day, but it's just child, the same flag that has slavery, the same flag, okay, that has segregation, the same child, but listen, we'll get into that at a later day, but no, nobody's disrespecting the flag. It's about to bring awareness, but you know, you see how they try to, listen, they want to confuse and like, oh, that's not what it's about. Oh, we're so disrespectful. No. Anyway, we all know that. We all know that now. And so after Drew said that comment, baby, the Twitters, the Instagrams, the social medias. Okay, listen, he received a huge backlash because obviously, first of all, and here's the thing. If that's what you truly believe, Drew, then that's fine. Because you know what? You just need a little more education. But the climate of the country and everything that's going on right now, like that, that's what you choose to say out of your mouth. Like, whoo, baby. So anyway. After less than 24 hours after that interview went viral, Drew or his PR team, they called Olivia Pope. Okay, they called somebody and they put out the statement basically saying that Drew had a discussion with his teammates and people and he understands that the protest was not to disrespect our flag, not to, you know, anything about the people that serve for our country. It's about bringing awareness to police brutality. Now, I'm glad that he was able to issue that apology, but another issue that I had, child, listen, I should name this podcast Issues. Another issue that I have is like, you know, child, it's so funny how these, you know, how Drew could just come see Jesus in 24 hours. Like, wow, that's so amazing because you've had this stance this whole time, but all of a sudden you get a little backlash and listen, they threaten to pull the money from your team. They threaten all of this and all of a sudden you have a come to Jesus. Like that, that's just so interesting to me because like, you know, because this ain't nothing new. Like, this has been happening. So, but he had to come to Jesus. And whether or not I believe it or not, he issued a statement. And I'm going to have to go on and respect that. But Miss Whoopi Goldberg had a little clap back for Drew that I just thought was so eloquent. You know, she touched on the fact that Drew had said that, you know, his grandfather and his great grandfather were in World War One and World War Two, and that, like, you know, he could just never stand for anybody disrespecting the flag. Whoopi Goldberg came back and said, well, listen, Drew, my great grandfather and my grandfather both were in World War One and World War Two. They fought, you know, just like your grandfathers. But you know, the difference was when they came back to this same country, this same fucking country, guess what? They couldn't even vote. So let that sink in. I just let that sink in for you guys. But anyway, we're not going to tear Drew B down because he did issue a statement. And, you know, for me, obviously, I drew issue with it a little bit because I'm like, wow, how fast we can come to the light. But he issued another statement. But what kind of made me think about Drew a little bit harder was when that guy that's in office, number 45, when he got wind of this, he actually issued a tweet or something he did, basically kind of saying like, you know, I stand with Drew and, you know, not letting people disrespect our flag. Something to that effect. And to my surprise, Drew took to his social media and addressed 45 directly and essentially said, well, he added 45 directly. He said, to 45, through my ongoing conversation with friends, teammates, and leaders in the Black community, I realize this is not an issue about the American flag. It has never been. We can no longer use the flag to turn people away or distract them from the real issues that face our Black communities. We did this in 2017, and regretfully, I brought it back with my comments this week. We must stop talking about the flag and shift our attention to the real issues of the systematic racial injustice, economic oppression, police brutality, and judicial and prison reform. We are at a critical juncture in our nation's history. If not now, then when? We as a white community need to listen and learn from the pain and suffering of our Black communities. We must acknowledge the problems, identify the solutions, and then put this into action. The Black community cannot do it alone. This will require all of us. Now, listen, when I read that and he directly added to 45, now I said, no, okay, Drew. Now, for that, I gotta applaud Drew, because you know what? When leadership does not come from the top down and, you know, the top fans the fire, I can appreciate somebody stepping up and admitting that they were wrong, although however fast it may have came. But, you know, an action like that, that actually kind of like I said, okay, I see what you're talking about, Drew. But I think that's important. And I think somebody coming from Drew's standpoint, who's always been like, you know, I'm not disrespecting the flag, for him to say something like that really can get an eye opener and really can get people to stop focusing that the protest was never about the flag. OK, it was about police brutality. And I think that if we can get people to stop and stop focusing on the flag, okay, and focus on the Black men and women and children that are being killed, I think that that is, so listen, I'm gonna have to say, okay, Drew, I'm gonna let you off the hook, okay, because my eye was real crooked at you, but I respected that move by him. I have to say, so listen, as fast as I cut somebody out, I can, at the same time, I can tip my head off to them and I say, I see what you're doing, Drew. So listen, we're gonna keep this menu rolling. Next on the menu, we got, oh God, Carol Baskin.
Carol Baskin killed her husband, whacked him. Can't convince me that it didn't happen. Fed him to tigers, they snacking. What's happening? Carol Baskin.
Now, y'all know I love me some Tiger King, okay? And I ain't really that mad at Joe Exotic. I feel like he should be free. But listen, so some new news came out about Carol Baskin. And so I said, listen, I got to run this right down to the Purple Pants posse. So, yes, we all know Joe Exotic is in jail for trying to kill Carol Baskin, for hiring a hitman to kill Carol Baskin, even though the guy that he hired testified against him in court and said that he was never going to kill Carol Baskin, but he took the money that Joe paid him. But I understand why the guy that was going to kill her that said that he took the money is not in jail, but Joe Exotic's in jail. Now, mind you, I've seen a lot of other videos about Joe Exotic and a lot of other things that I don't agree with. But from a standpoint of I love messiness and just like, you know, that's where I come from with my love for Joe Exotic. And anyway, we know that Joe Exotic was bought out by Jeff Lowe. And, you know, Jeff Lowe is planning on opening up a new zoo in Oklahoma sometime in like the next 120 days. But listen, baby, a judge had finally ruled in the favor of, hey, you cool cats and kittens, in this lawsuit regards for the Greater Wynwood Department Group LLC, which is the company that owns Joe Exotic's zoo that we saw that Jeff Lowe owns. But that's the name of it, because, you know, if you saw, listen, if you saw Tiger King, then you saw how many names, how many deed changes, how many cars he bought, how many, all of that. But yeah, so listen, back to what I was saying. The order gives Carol Baskin control of about 16 acres of land that Joe had. And, okay, the judgment also awarded her several cabins and vehicles to Carol. Now, mind y'all, if y'all saw Tiger King, what the hell Carol Baskin want with them cabins, okay? Them cabins is so disgusting. But anyway, I just think that this story is so funny because this is what Joe Exotic said throughout the whole time in Tiger King, is that she just wants his zoo. She wants his zoo. And I just think, like, time and time again, here she is about to acquire this 16 acres. Now, mind you, for me, I think is more interesting is the fact that, not the fact that where her husband went, okay? Because listen, we know where that husband went. Okay, that's where their husband went. But what I think is more interesting is that over there, the big cat rescue, she says that she wants to end these big cats in cages. Girl, if you want to end these big cats in cages, why are you acquiring another zoo to put more big cats in cages? Something don't make sense, you cool cat and big kitten. That don't make sense to me. And that's another thing that I just never understood about Carol, was that, like, girl, you want to end these big cats, but yet you run Big Cat Rescue that essentially does the same thing that Joe Exotic did. You run tours, you make money off of it. But listen, Joe Exotic at least made lovers out of the people that he worked with and paid them. Child, the people that work at Big Cat Rescue are volunteers. Listen, you can't pay me to, listen, y'all ain't volunteering at no big cat. No, ma'am. You gonna run me my check, Carol Baskin, okay? Because you out here getting these, acquiring these lawsuits, making this coin, okay, Miss Carol Baskin, run me my check, okay? I'm not a volunteer. Okay, I'm a paid employee, okay, that y'all are not paying. So, but anyway, I just thought that was so interesting that she now owns that zoo, and we'll see what happens. I believe the people have 120 days to vacate the premises, but y'all, there won't be much to clean out of those cabins. But listen, I told y'all I would keep you posted on anything I saw Tiger King, so I just wanted to bring that to the posse. Okay, I can't believe Miss Carol Baskin, okay? Where is your husband, girl? Where is your husband? Okay, listen, it's people like me out here trying to get somebody to text them back consistently, and child, you done had a husband and had a tiger eat them. Whew, Chalet, let's keep this menu rolling. Next on the menu, we got Insecure. I've been raving about Insecure so much this whole season, and I'm just always so excited to amplify melanated voices. Issa Rae is the producer and the creator of this show, and I just love it. I love this show for a multitude of reasons. For a young black man living in, you know, United States, 2020, it's just really good to be able to see a show that I feel like reflect a lot of my views, my music, how I feel, how quirky I am. I just really love the show, and I feel like a lot of people can relate to it. So if you haven't watched Insecure, I'ma just tell you again, watch it. It comes on HBO, 10 p.m. on Sunday nights. We're on season 4. But listen, if you want to watch the other 3 seasons, it's on HBO On Demand. Baby, get into it. So listen, let's get back into this episode. So the episode starts off with Issa and Lawrence going strong. And what I mean by going strong is, baby, they hoo ha ha ta ha pa ti ho ho ta ta all over the place, okay? In the kitchen, in the living room, on the couch. I be, hold on, y'all, I'm gonna be right back. I just gotta go watch the first 5 minutes of Insecure. I'll be right back. All right, I'm back. Yeah, they was hoo ha and ba ta ba ta. Ooh, chalet. Listen, I'm still waiting for a text back, y'all. Listen, it's been a dry quarantine for me. Listen, so anyway, hoo cha, where was I at? I don't even know. What day of the week is it? What am I doing? Who I'm on the phone with? Hello? Oh, sorry, y'all. I'm all discombobulated. Excuse me. All right, back to Issa. Back to Insecure. What was I saying? Okay, yeah. So Issa and Lawrence kind of have been figuring out what they're doing. And, you know, at one point in scene, Issa says to Lawrence, I really like what we're doing. And Lawrence actually asks her, like, what are we doing? And so they kind of sort of agree to get back together, but not really get back together, but basically agree to be on the same page. So right as they have that conversation, Issa gets a text from Nathan. We know Nathan was the guy that she used to date kind of sorta in season 3, who actually is Molly's new boyfriend, Andrew's roommate. And we know Issa, she been living her life. She been dating, you know, going out, hooking up with people as she should. She's a young single lady. And listen, she should be able to do what she wants. So, you know, she had reconnected with Nathan not that long ago and they were hanging out. But, you know, obviously since Lawrence is back, she wants to make Lawrence her priority. So Nathan texts Issa, said, hey, are you still going to help me move? I guess in a previous episode, Nathan explained that he was going to be moving out from Andrew and he wanted Issa to help him unpack. Now, if anybody know what I know, that if somebody like Nathan is texting me to help him come unpack his apartment, baby, I'm going to come over there, but a box is not what I'm going to unpack, if you get my drift. And I believe that's kind of what the same page Issa was on. So Issa did something that was kind of surprising to me. He was very upfront with Lawrence and said, hey, this guy used to date, he asked me to help him move, and I'm trying to be a good friend, and I would like to help him move, but if you have an issue with that, I completely respect it, and I won't help him move. To my surprise, Lawrence was like, yeah, no, get it, like, you know, you be a good friend. Now, here is, I got a side eye for Lawrence, y'all, though. My side eye for Lawrence is, I feel like it's just too good to be true. I feel like he's still talking to Condola, or I feel like he doing something sneaky that he just gonna end up breaking Issa's heart, and I don't got time for that. Speaking of Condola, Issa did bring that situation up, and Lawrence did confirm that he did meet up with her and basically explained to her that they no longer are a thing. Also on the horizon for Lawrence is that he has this job interview out in San Francisco, so he would essentially have to move from where he is living at now, which is down the street from Issa, which obviously gives us viewers a dilemma. Like, if Issa and Lawrence get back together and then he move, what's the point of them getting back together? Or is, like, Issa going to leave and go to San Francisco, or is Issa going to do something to mess it up? Like, I don't know. I'm all over the place with what's going on. So Lawrence goes to San Francisco to take this job interview. Now, Molly and Andrew, we know that Molly and Andrew have been kind of sort of having issues in regards to Molly's controlling issues, how she overreacted with the brother, how it put a strain on him. And so Andrew says that his brother's in town and would really like for Molly to go out with the brother. However, Molly is like, no, I don't like your brother. You just go. And so Andrew's like, you know, are you always going to hold this over my brother? Are you never going to talk to my brother? He is my brother. And if we in a relationship, like, how is this going to work? We also see in this episode Molly going to talk to her therapist, something that I super love. A lot in the Black community, you know, therapy is thought of as like, oh, we don't need that, we don't use that, but please, everyone needs therapy. And I am always a big proponent of therapy, self-assessment, all of these great things. So we see Molly talking to her therapist, and a lot of the times, like, between Molly and Issa, I feel like sometimes I'm Molly, sometimes I'm Issa. But definitely during Molly's therapy session with her therapist, I felt like I definitely was Molly. Molly was saying a lot of the things that the people had did to her, and that, like, you know, she was just like, I just don't get down like that. And so the therapist asked her the question, like, there's a pattern of somebody doing something to you and you put a wall up. And the therapist was like, you know, if you put a wall up for everyone, do you want to be in relationships? Do you want to have friendships? And I was like, ooh, bitch. I'm like, is this therapist talking to me? Because I just feel like a lot in my life, and I tell y'all, I'm on a roll for a better Bryce. And so a lot of the times I feel like if someone wrongs me, if someone does me something that I don't like, if I felt like someone's attacking me, I will instantly put up a wall, and that's it's protective of me. Like, you know, back when I was younger and I got teased, that's how I was able to, like, keep myself safe. I would put up a wall, I would be like, I hate you, and I never want to deal with you. And so, like, I just, when Molly, I just, whew, that subject really hit home for me. So it caused Molly to rethink about different things. And so we also see at the same time, Issa really can't decide whether or not she should go help Nathan move, and just really kind of confused about this whole Lawrence situation. And so she kind of reaches out to some of her other friends, but obviously there's no friend like your best friend who knows you and understands you. So she contemplates reaching out to Molly, and, like, it's like, should I not? She ultimately calls Molly, goes to voicemail because Molly's actually in therapy, but leaves her a message like, hey Molly, like, I would really love to get together with you, let's talk. When Molly gets out of therapy, she sees the message and listens to it, and, like, you know, look at God. So Molly and Issa both meet up. They meet up for brunch. Yes, can we get an amen for brunch during this pandemic, y'all? Have not had a brunch, and I've been dying for a mimosa. But anyway, back to Insecure. They meet up. Molly is very kind of somewhat standoffish. Issa is, like, awkward, and they really talk about surface stuff. And this reminds me a lot of myself and my friends, that, like, if you've ever had a friend that you've had a disagreement with and you guys meet up, and it's like you talk about very superficial things just to kind of, like, avoid the, like, you know, the ice, and you go to, like, funny memories and stuff, but you don't really talk about the deep issues that you need to talk to. Well, that was Molly and Issa, and I was just like, wow, like, again, why I love this show so much. Me as a young Black gay man, I just see so much of my life, and so much of what I can relate. And it just, like, the show just always has me thinking, although it's very funny, but it really has a deep message, almost like this podcast. Don't sleep on this podcast, okay? So anyway, it's a good meeting for both of them, but they don't really talk about the surface. They don't really talk about anything, but it's just like, hey, okay, girl, we'll see each other soon. So Molly goes back to Andrew's house, and Andrew's all excited, like, hey, how was it? Molly's like, it was whatever. Like, you know, we didn't really talk about anything. And so what I love about Andrew is, like, well, he's like, well, did you bring it up? And now here go. Now this is where I turn into Molly. And Molly's like, well, listen, why would I have to bring it up? They did me wrong. Okay, I showed up. I was there. They could have brought it up. Now, man, that's how I be too as well. But listen, I'm on a roll to a better Bryce, Purple Pants Posse, so work with me. So Molly gets defensive with Andrew. And we see this common thread with Molly and Andrew, that if Andrew does not 100% agree with everything that she says or she does, she automatically gets defensive. And Andrew's been very, very patient with Molly, but we know that Molly hasn't had long relationships, and so like maybe this is the reason. So it makes me worrisome for Molly, because although in this feud I'm team Issa, I still love me my Molly, and if Andrew makes her happy, I want her to be happy. But obviously we can see that Andrew gets frustrated a lot of the time with Molly. Another prime example of that is that another scene in the episode where Molly comes home and she brings home like Thai food, and she's like, this is what I got. And Andrew's like, well, I thought we were doing Indian. And Molly was like, but I didn't really like it last time, so I got this. And so we see Andrew kind of make this face, and we all kind of know that face of annoy. And so they kind of sort of start having this mini awkward argument, and they look to the left, and it's Issa and Nathan standing in the living room because Issa was helping Nathan move, and so they had to go to that house to get some things because, you know, Nathan lives with Andrew. And so they're like, oh, hi guys. And so very, very awkward. And trust me, I've been in plenty of awkward situations with my friends, so it's just so funny. But Nathan and Issa are like, we just came to get these boxes, we'll get out your way. And Andrew and Molly are like, oh no, it's cool, you know, come get something to eat, we got food, stay if you want. And Issa like, no, we not hungry. And Nathan like, we hungry. And Issa like, well, actually I am kind of hungry. And so they're like, no, stay. So they end up staying, and they have somewhat of a good time together. Another time we get to see Molly and Issa kind of connecting. They drinking the, you know, they wet and they whistle, they're having a great time, they're reminiscing. Andrew and Nathan, obviously they're friends, and so it's a great time. So at one point in time, the bottle is getting low, and Andrew's like, well, I've got another bottle in the kitchen. And Molly's like, yeah, go get it. And so Issa and them, they start playing this game, and Issa's like, well, if y'all don't want me to stay, we could go. And Molly's like, no, stay, let's play the game. And so while Andrew's in the kitchen, Molly, and mind you, they've been wetting their whistle, so Molly gets her phone and she goes to text Andrew, and he goes, see, I'm actually trying with Issa. But she actually sent the text message to Issa, and Issa saw it, and obviously we know through Issa's point of view, like, what you mean I'm actually trying with her? Like, you know, I'm supposed to be your best friend, we kicking it. I've been reaching out to you, and in fact you're the one that ruined my block party, so how dare you? So Issa kind of abruptly leaves, and Molly follows her out, and Issa's like, I don't understand, like, you're barely even trying. And Molly's like, I don't know. And Issa's like, you know, it doesn't seem like you want to talk, is it really that hard to be around me? And then so Molly basically says, maybe we've grown apart, maybe who you are now doesn't suit me in my life of where I am now. Now baby, again, hit home for me a lot. This one particular friend popped into my mind where we've actually had this conversation before, and I was just like, ooh, chile. But, you know, and you can see in Issa's face how hurt and devastated she was. And she had called a Lyft. And obviously, the second that Molly said that, the Lyft pulled up, and Issa was like, okay. And then Molly was like, okay, as if like, really, that's what you gonna say to what I just said? But in Issa's defense, like, girl, what else you want me to say? You essentially, you just broke my heart. So Issa gets in the car and she drives away. And of course, you know, that's how the episode ends. Now I'm mad because I'm like, yes, I thought this was gonna be the episode that Molly and Issa, you know, came back together and was girlfriends. So, and then I learned that next week is the season finale. Chile, Purple Pants Posse, what I'm gonna do. I'm trying to tell y'all, if y'all not watching Insecure, Sunday nights, 10 p.m. HBO, get into it. Now let's keep on rolling down the river on this menu. All right, keeping the menu rolling, I've got some special guests that wanted to pop on by. I'm excited. They both have popped their cherry on the Purple Pants podcast before, so this is not the first time they are here, but I am excited to have them. I'd like to welcome Missy and Aaron from Island of the Idols season 39 back to the Purple Pants podcast. Was popping.
Hey, what Aaron up, you see how he said Missy and Aaron, right? You see how he got it right?
Are we gonna start with this? Is this how Missy, we're gonna kick this thing off?
Missy and Aaron.
I thought it was us together, and then if Bryce came at us, we would bond together. But clearly, I see
we can do that.
Every
no
man and woman for himself.
Wait. First
all right.
Of all, all
right, let's
if
go.
Anybody was bonding anybody together, it'd be me and Missy against Aaron. Okay,
Missy wow. And Aaron. Yeah, there you go, bro.
It's
Prince of
like
Providence.
That. It's like that.
Because
all right,
there's only one true Prince of Providence, and you know his name is me. Ah.
That's not what the name says I'm looking at right now. We'll leave it at that.
I can't stand with y'all, but I'm so glad that you guys wanted to come on the Purple Pants podcast to give people an update of what y'all got popping, because I think what you guys have going on is so much fun. But before we get into that, I just wanted to, you know, you guys are my real friends in real life, and anytime that I talk to people, especially people of color, I always kind of dive in, you know, that's that therapist in me. But I just want to ask, like, how are you guys doing and handling everything that is going on in the world today, especially, you know, the highlighting of, you know, people of color and the injustices that is going on?
Aaron, Aaron, you want to go first?
Yeah. So, you know, for me, this goes back my entire life. I mean, it's always been something that I've struggled with, being a mixed racially mixed kid growing up in an all white area with a black father and a white mom. It was always something that was front and center for me. And my mother and father did a very good job raising me and teaching me to unconditionally love everybody, regardless of their race, their gender, their sexual orientation, any differences. They taught me to love people. And I've growing up that way, I've had to bite my lip. And, you know, there's been situations that have happened where I shrug it off. I'm the token black kid in school and they call me the black kid and I'm mixed, but they don't know any different because I don't look like them. And being a minority business owner, I've always had to feel like I had to bite my tongue and I couldn't chime in situations like this. But with everything going around and my responsibilities that I feel that I have to educate people and teach people, I've been a little bit more vocal and started opening up these conversations because I do feel as though people are willing to listen. And it's unfortunate that it took all of this to happen for people to finally start to sit back and say, you know what, let me listen to you. I've never took the time to understand what it's like coming from your side of the spectrum here. And I think that has been a positive. So I'm going to talk about the positives that I'm taking away from this is that I feel that people are now more open to having conversations and learning a little bit about, you know, what it's like to grow up, you know, brown in this world and what it's like to come from a mixed race family and growing up brown in a white community and being a business owner, not really feeling like I could say anything. So it's nice to finally have these conversations. I've had some of my white friends come to me and say, hey, Aaron, like I'm coming to you. I hope you don't take offense to this, but how do I explain race and racism to my white children? And to me, I've never in my life had my friends ever approach me and ask me for that question. And that to me is like, wow. All right, people are listening. They want to learn. And that's what I'm taking away from this is that now is a time for if you do feel like you have a voice to say something, to stand up. And you don't have to be black to have a voice. You don't have to be brown to have a voice. You can talk regardless. And that's what I hope it comes away from all this is that just more people take the time to listen.
Wow. 100% agree.
Oh my goodness. Missy? I don't know if okay, yeah. Damn, Aaron. Yeah. So for me, it's been very difficult seeing my grandma and everything that she struggled with in her lifetime. I always felt that we were a little bit removed from it. And to now, I'm so happy that people have cell phones, right? We can actually see the injustices coming out more and more. And to wake up every morning and to scroll through my phone to listen to your podcast that you just did, it's nice that people are willing to talk about it and they're willing to share. This is officially the largest civil rights movement that we've ever had in history.
Hello.
And so we're forming history. All 50 states, cities, Switzerland, England, France, they're all protesting with us peacefully. And so for me, it's so cool to be a part of history in that way. I hate what had to happen for it to happen. But to be able to have these conversations with my grandma now and to see her go more in depth with what she went through, I truly love it. So yeah, I think it brings people together. Stonewall. We didn't have a lot of rights as an LGBTQ community, but now we do. Stonewall made that happen. And so I think it takes the protesting. It takes people willing to stand up for what's wrong to make change. And I think after this month, his daughter just said that my dad changed the world. And I think he did. He completely changed the world and how people are going to start viewing other people. And my favorite meme online right now is All Houses Matter. So when people ask you, why are people, all lives matter, cops matter, everyone does matter, truly. Every single person in the world matters. But if you think about all houses matter, if the house on the right is on fire, why would you be pouring water on the house on the left? That's completely fine.
Speak.
So if the house on the left, it's standing, the lights are on, the family is safe, wouldn't you put all your time and energy into the house on the right that is burning down before your eyes? And also be happy if you are not, you don't have a movement. You don't need a movement. If you do not need a movement, you don't have as many injustices in your life. Black people are dying every single day. So all houses do matter, but the house on the right now is burning down and people are dying. So let's all work together as a community and put the fire out.
Absolutely. And I just echo what both of you guys said. And it just also to me, I feel like us being on this public platform, however big or small it may seem to us, but what I am realizing and what I am like learning to kind of like just walk in my truth is that, like, you know, our words have power, and, you know, people look up to you guys and to me for being on the Survivor show, and they think it's so cool. But what I think is more important is that, like, we actually like pull down the curtain of like us being these Survivor players and really kind of like pouring our hearts and really being intimate and really being like sharing our struggles. And I think that that is more powerful than what I originally realized. And I just think it's important to have these conversations. So I just wanted to say, you know, I know that ain't why y'all came up on here, but y'all my peoples. And I think that what you guys have to say matters. It doesn't matter if it's Missy and Aaron or Missy, Bryce and Aaron. I just think that it is important that, you know, you guys' voices are heard, no matter how little or how small. So I just thank you so much for that. But, you know, to try to switch gears, because everything, you know, let's give the people what they want, something popping. Y'all got something really interesting and fun going on, you know, Aaron and Missy. So, like,
whoa,
what?
Yep.
Come on, Bryce.
Yep, I got you.
You see how hype he got? It don't take him.
All right. Let's throw him a bone. Aaron, so if you want to start it off, go ahead. I'll finish it up.
Yeah, so Missy and I, we had the opportunity of doing the Instagram live takeover with Hearts of Reality, and we were sitting there and kind of trying to think of creative ways where we could have something different, you know, where it wasn't just us going back and forth and bantering each other and answering questions. So we came up with the idea together that we would, you know, have a trivia competition. So we basically put together 20 questions and then give the people who were on our Instagram live the opportunity of answering Survivor-based trivia. So we did it. And the feedback was incredible. I mean, we had people chiming in, and we had, you know, over 30, 40 people participate, and a lot of good positive feedback came from that. So, you know, we sat and we talked, and we're like, hey, I mean, we got this whole quarantine situation going on right now. Nobody's leaving their house. You know, why don't we try to continue this? Why don't we try to, you know, do something more with this and not just have it be a one-time deal, but let's start a Survivor trivia event. And that's kind of how it blossomed. So I'll let Missy take over and kind of take
now,
it from there.
Can I just jump in real quick? Now, I'm going to be honest with y'all, because, you know, I give it to you real, like, no fake. Now, when Missy told me, like, hey, Bryce, come on for this trivia, I'm like, what the hell? Like, I don't know this stuff. What up? Want to come on this damn trivia and do that for? Okay? I'm burning out third in Kageon. It ain't nothing for me in here. But I have to say, when Missy was like, bro, just click on the link and watch. And I'm like, okay, I'll click on the link and watch. I was blown away because so many things I was blown away about this trivia was, one, I was blown away by the audience that you guys have got. And two, I was blown away by how fun it was. Like, it was so much fun to watch these. And so, mind you, y'all know I'm all over the place. So follow me, Aaron and Missy. I was also taken aback by, one, how young the Survivor audience really is.
Mm-hmm.
And how knowledgeable they are. I'm like, what the? So, like, Missy had me read some questions. Before, I would read three sentences, like, I would read three words in the question, and I could be like, Apple, John, Jack. And these people, these kids, already out, Survivor Camerons, Jessica. I'm like, what the hell? What's going on? And another thing, and sorry, y'all know me, I'm all over the place. Another thing that I really loved about the trivia that I took away personally was, after the trivia, they have this like question and answer, and Missy and Aaron, they asked the participants, like, what did you like about this? What didn't you like about this? And what I love is that, like, you know, us Survivor communities, we're a niche, you know, we are special type of people. If you really get into the show, if you really love the show, you're a special type of people. And some of the fans that watch Survivor, some of them may be on the spectrum of different things. And what I really love, and I would have to say was so heartwarming to me, was that when Aaron and Missy asked questions, there was some person that was like, hey guys, I can't read as fast as I can write. Some people said, hey, I can't really like listen as fast as I can read. And the fact that you guys not only take the time to identify that, but take the time to customize your trivia so that everyone can get such an impactful
respectful thing from it, I really have to say, and I don't like giving my hats off to Aaron a lot, but I just have to say, I just truly want to give my hats off to you guys for that, for not only like just making something that's fun, but like, you know, making something that's fun for everyone that wants to participate. That really like blew me away when you guys did that, had the people speak and really talk about what their experiences was so that you guys could make the best experience for somebody. That blew me away. So I know I'm going on and on, but yes. I just had to just tell y'all that, because I don't know if I actually like got to tell y'all that, but that really, for me, that kind of touched me, because it's like, y'all not just doing this just to do it, to get your name out there, like, you know, but y'all are really doing it because y'all like Survivor and y'all like the interaction and you like how it's growing and how fun it is. So I appreciate that for y'all. I appreciate that from you guys.
Yes, thank you.
Absolutely.
And then for the fans. So, no, sir.
He ready to cut you. He ready to cut you off.
I hear him.
I had a thought. I'll let you, Missy, go.
Bryce.
I'll be nice and let you go. I can't mute you now. I can't mute her. Usually I can mute her.
Bryce. Oh my gosh. So now, let me just go ahead. So Bryce, so you see how he is. This is how he is on the call with trivia. I have to mute him sometimes because truly he doesn't know when to stop talking. It's a really hard ebb and flow. I had to make him the intern last week. I had to put him on duties. So anyways, intern, give me a minute. Let me let the people know what's going on. So guys, basically we hop onto a Zoom call. We'll broadcast it to YouTube so everybody can see. We'll give a link. We've had on people from Bryce to Jamal to DK Chillin, a.k.a. DK Villain. Dean, I want to date you. So anyways.
I'm editing it out, okay?
No, you're not. Anytime I come on PPP, I need Dean to hear me. So if you guys can get this to him.
Aaron, get the intern, please.
Anyways. So yeah, we've had Dean. We've had Elaine, Nora. We have people come on. They're our friends. And we also get to meet other alumni in the community. So for us, it's been super healing during this time of quarantine. Our next lineup that we have coming out, we have some really big names, and I'm so excited as a fan myself. When we hung up with Eric, Dabu Doodles Eric, I just cried. I called Aaron and I was crying because I'm a huge fan. And so this week coming up on the 10th, we're going to have, well, Bryce, you want to tell them? You want to let them know?
I mean, I think on the 10th, Purple Pants Posse, they might have, you know, your baby boy. Okay. They going to have Jatia from Kagayan. So if you watch the quest and you ain't get enough of Jatia, they have Jatia and baby boy Jamal from Idol Islands of the Idol. So listen, we got a jam. They got a jam pack episode. I'm here for okay?
Yes.
Can I be the intern? Can I be the intern that day?
No, that's Aaron. So
she abuses the intern. Be careful.
And so, yeah, so we're going to have them on the 10th. I'll be posting the sign up links on my Instagram story. It'll be in all the major Facebook groups. You'll see it come out a couple of days before. And after everyone signed up, we randomly picked the first 40 people. So we picked those 40 people. The intern, Aaron, will send out the email. And he'll let you know that he'll let
keep
you
it keep it up.
He'll let you know you got selected. When you get that email, honestly, the way we want it to feel is like you want a ticket to the Willy Wonka factory. Like, it's such a big deal for us. We put a lot into it, and we'd love to see y'all next week. All right, intern, go ahead. Let him know.
Yeah, the last thing that I want to say, and I appreciate you finally letting me talk again, Missy. I know how much you like to take the show over and be the center of attention.
Of course.
But for us, honestly, really, it's and what I've learned a lot is that the Survivor fan base is not as bad as social media may make it out to be. And I know playing the game and sitting back and you have the Twitter trolls that will pop in and try to just take away from the entire experience. What this has shown me and other Survivor alumni is that the fans are amazing. They really, really are amazing. And to see the pure just like joy and our ability to kind of interact with them and talk to them and say their names and call them out and, you know, just really just develop this relationship, to me, has kind of renewed that sense of pride of playing Survivor. Because, you know, our season was rough. It was tough going through what we went through and got a lot of hatred on social media and not a lot of positive. But this has really been 100% positive experience. And I think some alumni maybe are timid to put themselves out in there. And what I'll say is that if you are a Survivor alumni, you have a story that you want to tell, you have something that you want to promote, or maybe you want to just share your Survivor story because you never had a voice to share it.
Yes.
This is a good outlet to do that. And that's kind of what I'm really seeing, is that these weekends are great, not just for the fans, but also for Survivor alumni that maybe didn't have their story told. and now have the opportunity to do so. So that's pretty much all I wanted to say there.
Beautiful.
It's a very safe place. Like, you know, and the fact that it's on a Zoom call is so much fun. And now I'm going to put this out there, Purple Pants Posse. Now, right now it's just on the Zoom. But I'm telling Aaron and Missy that once the world open back up again, I foresee, like, you guys taking this, like, somewhere crazy. Like, I see you guys doing live events. I envision it. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm telling you, like, when I got off that call, I was like, oh my God, this is so fun. I could see this a live event. People coming in, having people watch. It would just be so fun. And I'm going to just say here right now, wherever it's at in the United States of America, okay, your baby boy is flying out and I want to host it. I want to host the first one, okay?
Yes.
So, like a Survivor Jeopardy.
Yes, yes, exactly. Oh. Like, how much fun with that? So, Missy, make sure you get the intern to write that down for you so he knows that I'm coming.
I got you. And then real quick, shout out to our actual intern. He's a lot cooler than Aaron. His name is Logan. He graduates from high school tomorrow.
Yes.
Congratulations, Logan. We couldn't do it without him. Truly, he writes our questions for us. He keeps them together. He keeps us in check whenever we get a little bit off. So, Logan, we couldn't do it without you. We truly love you, and you deserve this graduation. He has a full ride to go to college, all right? No student debt. Mm-hmm. Let's get a bell. No student debt. Mm-hmm. Come on. Come on.
It was a couple of them.
But listen, Logan, if you're listening, and since you don't have no student debt, if you just want to feel what it's like to have some student debt, call me. I could just give you a portion, just so you know, just real life experiences, just an event. But before I hang up with y'all, before we go, I'm going to give a certain somebody an opportunity to redeem himself. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Intern.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shoot.
Number one.
Wow.
Air Meredith, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's the Purple Pants Podcast theme song?
Wow, finally. All right, drop it, Aaron. Give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's a Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick.
Oh my God.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Oh my God.
All right.
Wow.
Okay. It's now been officially upgraded. Aaron and Missy. All right. Okay.
Wait. How did that happen though? He sung it off key, out of tune. What is that?
It's okay. When I was with him in person, Missy, he had this like awkward two step that went with it that I was like, Aaron, just stop. Don't do that. He was like, I'm trying. So
we don't give out participation trophies.
I'd be okay. You're right. Missy and Aaron, just drop where people can follow you guys at and where they can just follow and get the information for the trivia.
Yes. All right. At the Missy Bird is my handle on all social media platforms. If you want to watch past episodes and study up, which I definitely recommend, you can go to my YouTube channel, The Missy Bird, and all of our past episodes will be filled in there.
Yeah, that's where everything happens and takes place on Missy's. But my Instagram, Aaron C. Meredith, Twitter, ACM_fitness. Not super active on social media, but most of the stuff is going to be found on Missy's page. So go follow her. Don't worry about me.
Yeah, don't worry about him.
And again, Aaron's Instagram is thatintern1. So make sure you guys follow him. Well, anyway, guys, it's been so much fun to have you. I greatly appreciate your support coming on the Purple Pants Podcast. And I'm greatly appreciate for you moving the Survivor community forward in your own way. It's so easy for people in this community to bite off of other people's ideas. So I have to applaud originality. And thank you guys so much for coming on the Purple Pants Podcast. It's been Rizzio.
Yes.
Much love.
Thank you, bro.
It's a Purple Pants pick. It's a Purple Pants pick. If you hurry up quick, it's a Purple Pants pick. Yeah.
Yes, and we are on to, again, one of my favorite segments of the podcast, Purple Pants Picks. As you know, every Saturday morning to my Instagram, Bryce Isaiah, I will post a photo of Purple Pants and I will say, drop your picks. And that's the opportunity for you, the listener, to get your baby boy, me, to talk about whatever subject, whatever pick, whatever topic you want to talk about, whether it be pop culture, news, music, social justice, anything you want, you drop it that Saturday morning. And then I will put it on the podcast. So yes, without further ado, let's get into the first Purple Pants pick.
All right. The first Purple Pants pick is from Michelle. She wants to know what your skincare routine is.
Hey, Michelle. Yes, you know your baby boy loves for his skin to glow. So I actually have oily skin. So I always use an astringent on my face. So I'll use like alcohol. I'll take some cotton pads. And I will always, like every night before bed, make sure I unclog those pores, get all that dirt off my face. And I love to use an exfoliating scrub. Now, I love, it's like apricot scrub. But listen, I love me some Target. So I love to use the Up and Up brand. So I will, like, you know, do that to my face, rinse, and then I use a nighttime rinse by Neutrogena. I love Neutrogena. My mom used it like when I was younger, so I always use it. And then in the morning time when I wake up, I use like a morning burst rinse. Neutrogena has it. Clean and Clear has it. But listen, also Up and Up has it. And when I look at the ingredients from the back, they basically the same thing. So I love to use the Target Up and Up products. I also love, maybe like every 4 days, I love to do a mask. I have a mask from Queen Helene called Mint Julep. It's a green mask. I put it on my face. It really shrinks my pores, gets the things out of my pores, and I love it. Or I love to use those masks in a bag, you know, like the eye puffing mask, all of that type of stuff. I love that fun stuff. And baby boy, try to drink his water, you know, drink more water, you know, your skin is clear. And that's really what I use. And like when I was growing up, my mom, I used to have acne, so I used to lay on my mom's lap and my mom used to like pop my blackheads and like get to clear my pimples out. So anytime I see a blackhead on my skin, I try to pop it out. And then sometimes if I have a bad like breakout somewhere, I put a little toothpaste on it because the toothpaste will dry it out. Put the toothpaste overnight and then rinse my face, put a mask on. But yeah, I love skincare. I really love to keep my skin healthy and glowing. But yes, thanks for the Purple Pants pick. What's the next one?
The next Purple Pants pick is from Thea Jill. She'd like to know, would you ever get a dog?
Ooh, that is a really good question. So y'all all know Barb, my mom, she has a cockapoo, and her name is Sunshine, and I love Sunshine. Sunshine is amazing. Growing up, we always had allergies, so we weren't able to have a dog. So we always had like lizards, and we had snakes, and we had turtles, and I still have a turtle that I had when I was 12. His name is Poppy. And then when I moved out on my own, I got a turtle named Kimmy, because when I moved out on my own, I was like, mommy, I'm taking Poppy with me. And my mom was like, Poppy's not going anywhere. I was like, excuse me, I got Poppy when I was 12. Poppy was my turtle. So I couldn't take Poppy with me. So I got my turtle named Kimmy, and Kimmy is a diva. So I love my Kimmy, but I really do love my mom's dog, Sunshine. Sunshine is like the cutest thing ever. Sunshine, a little cray cray. But what I love about the dog is I love the unconditional love that the dog gives you. They always want to be around you, and it just, so I love it. So I definitely want a dog. However, from seeing my mom with Sunshine, baby, first of all, my mom spoils Sunshine. Sunshine has more clothes than I have. But what I did not realize about dogs is that they got allergies. Sunshine gets sick. My mom stayed in the vet, thousands of dollars. I'm like, oh my God, wait a minute. I mean, I want a dog. And I thought, like, you know, I buy some outfits here and there and some dog food and treats. But listen, I did not know about the vet bills and just how sick and fickle they could be to the weather and other things. And so it's a lot. And so I would have to say, for me right now in my life, I don't think that I could give the love that I would want to a dog, because I'm always on the go. I'm not really home. And like where I live, I don't have the space. But I eventually, down the road, definitely want a dog. I want a dog like Sunshine. I love Sunshine. She's a little for a dog. I think I definitely want to keep it in the hyperallergenic family, since I am allergic. So I definitely think I would want like a golden doodle like Chris Underwood has. I think they are so cute. So maybe along the lines, when I get me a husband or a man and we buy a house together, we got a backyard, and before we have children, I want a dog. But definitely, so I want a dog. I just don't think right now in my life is a dog. And I don't know if any of you watch my social media, I always post when my mom do ridiculous things with Sunshine. All right, what's the next Purple Pants pick?
All right, the next one is from John Rules. He'd like to know, did you watch Wendell on HGTV?
John, now you know I had to watch my brother, my best friend Wendell on HGTV fix my fail. Oh my God, I was so proud of Wendeezy getting on HGTV as a designer, as a black man on a designer. Talk about amplified melanated voices. Yes. So here's a little behind the scenes that you might not have known. So due to the coronavirus, Wendell had to record everything himself. So HGTV had to send him all of this equipment. So he was at his parents' house filming. And so every day that he filmed, yeah, baby boy would bring my work computer to his house. And I was just there supporting anything he needed, because I love to be around greatness. And, you know, everything and anything Wendell does always inspires me. And I just wanted to lend my support. So I was literally in the background watching everything happen. But the funny thing about it is, like, the production company that he was working with, like, when they found out that I was there, they'd be like, hey, Wendell, can you ask Bryce to move the light? Hey, Wendell, can you get Bryce to snap some photos? Excuse me. Listen, y'all gonna put me on the HGTV budget as a producer? Because, listen, I was out there moving lights, running around, getting the extension cords, all of that stuff. But needless to say, I would do it all again to support my friend. And I was so proud. And if you have not watched it, please DVR it. Go to On Demand, watch Fix My Fail. It's amazing. Wendell is one of the only black designers on there, and he absolutely did a great job. And if you guys could go to that HGTV Instagram page where they say Fix My Fail and they have like the commercial for it, please go on there and light those comments up and let them know how much you enjoyed Wendell and how much you want to see him back on HGTV. Yes, let's get another black male designer on HGTV. Wendell, I'm so proud of you. Yes, of course I saw Lil Jon Jon. I was right there next to him cheering him on. Well, come on, Tiki Oyo. All right, what's the next Purple Pants pick?
The next Purple Pants pick is from Jason Castillo. He'd like to know, since summer's right around the corner, do you plan on watching Big Brother?
Yes, Jason. Well, listen, with my summer kind of canceled and me not really going to any large events and kind of me staying home and in the community, I'm so excited. And I think I read somewhere that it's been confirmed, or maybe not confirmed, that it's going to be an all-star season. So listen, baby boy is all here for that. Now, I always start off watching Big Brother, but because it comes on three times, it's such a lot for me, but I always put my best foot forward and try to watch it. But you know me, I live for the live feeds, okay? When the people go and make it their confessional rooms and you can watch online, I love that. So yes, I really am excited for this new season of Big Brother. All right, what you got next on the Purple Pants pick?
The next Purple Pants pick is from Theo McCoy. They would like to know, what are your thoughts on protesting during the pandemic?
Ooh, such a good question, Theo. I think that, you know, it's a lot, especially with this corona going on and these large crowds. And I was nervous at first, and I participated in a couple of them at this point. But you know what I had to think about was during the civil rights movement, when people did peaceful protests and they sat in at white only diners and got hoses sicked on them, got dogs sicked on them. People lost their lives. And I thought, like, you know what? I got to put myself on the front line. I got to do what I have to do. And you know what? This cause is that it's that important to me. You know, people before me lost their lives so that I could vote. Okay, so it was important for me to listen. If I have to risk possibly getting corona, then you know what? I'm willing to do that to further my community, to make sure that not another black brother gets killed at the hands of the police. So the stakes are really high, but you know, I tried to stay protected. I tried to, you know, make sure I had my hand sanitizer, my face mask, wash my hands. And so, yeah, and I'm definitely kind of like staying away from my family members for a little while to make sure that I'm safe and I don't pass it on to anyone else. But the way I think about it is they opening up beaches and people going to the beach, okay, around a lot of people. So listen, why not do something worthy of a cause and protesting for the rights and for equality? And that was important to me. But yeah, definitely it was a concern to me. But sometimes the stakes are high. And listen, when people are being killed at an astronomical rate from people that are supposed to protect and preserve, we got to go out there, pandemic or not. You got another Purple Pants pick for me?
All right, the last Purple Pants pick is from Darlene Francis on Instagram. She would like to know, what are your recommendations for future Sequester players?
Well, since you know your baby boy is an alum of the Sequester miniseries that happened to make the jewelry, okay, maybe I might got some valid advice for y'all. But no, seriously, Sequester is so much fun. My first recommendation would be have fun. Make sure at the bottom line that you have fun. Make sure that it's an enjoyable experience for you. My second would be, baby, play it hard and play it fast. Listen, go in and out them rooms and let them know what the tea is. Even if you got to alter the tea a little bit, even if you got to change it, you got to make sure you make it work for yourself. And the last bit of advice that I have for you is, if it's green or red, red girl, always go red. And if it seems like if you have an option that's good or bad, always go bad. And listen, if it's a drag round, put a vote on yourself or put a vote on just a random person. Because listen, or a person that you don't think is going home. Because the last thing you want to happen is you put a vote on somebody that go home and they drag your behind out of the game. Well, guys, that's going to conclude this week's Purple Pants Picks. Look out on my Instagram this Saturday morning, Bryce Isaiah, BRICEIZYAH. Look out for those purple pants that say drop your topic and get your pick in for the next week's episode.
It is time for advice, give it to you by Bryce. It's time for advice with Bryce.
All right, welcome back to another edition of Advice with Bryce. Once again, we have another great submission. So let's just get right into it. So here we go. Hey, Bryce. Of every moving episode of the Purple Pants podcast this week, thank you for always speaking out on issues that are always important, but not always easy to talk about. This year, I joined my company's Diversity and Inclusion Committee. In light of the recent events that have triggered the ongoing movement in both the United States and internationally, I'm from Canada. Our committee is meeting this week to discuss how we can elevate our Black colleagues and ensure that our culture is inclusive and anti-racist. So the advice with Bryce. I want to emphasize that I can't compare the discrimination I have faced as a gay man to that of racial minorities. However, as a gay man, I remember my company's action of simply putting pride flags around the office uplifted me. We also have annual LGBT galas and events like marching in the Pride Parade. These visual representations of support from my workplace have made me feel extremely comfortable showing up as my full self to work every day and inspired me to join the committee. Bryce, what suggestions would you give companies to celebrate and empower their Black employees? How can our committee help create an environment where there are no unintended biases towards racial minorities? I want to make sure the voices of my Black colleagues are heard and that the systemic racism is confronted and tackled. If every employee could have a part in making a difference, what could that look like? Looking forward to hearing all the thoughts. And once again, to all the listeners out there, if you feel like you want advice from Bryce, feel free to submit a submission at thepurplepantspodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks, Nasir. Hey, Matt, and thanks again for your advice with Bryce. I think this is a really good question, and I think it's also very complex. One, I think that it's important to want to include everyone in the workplace and make everyone feel like they are important and they're heard. And I think that that is a great committee that you are on. Two, I think it's important to make what you guys are doing individualized. I think that it is important to know that, yes, we are a African-American community. We're a Black community. However, we're all different. Not one of us are the same. And so that I think it's important for you guys to really know your workers and the individual people that work there on a personal basis to know what their preferences are and what they like. I had an experience at a company where I was the only Black gay male at the job. And so a lot of the times for all of the Black and gay issues, they came to me. And a lot of the times it made me feel uncomfortable. Like, I'm not the voice of the Black people. I'm not the voice of the gay people. I'm just my voice. And so although I was very happy that they wanted to include me and they wanted me to be a part of things, but I also felt very like it put a weight on my shoulder because it's like, I've got to say the right thing. I've got to do the right thing. And at times it made me extremely uncomfortable. I know that they were coming from a good place, but I don't feel like they wanted to get to know me as a person. They wanted to use me as a symbol of, ooh, we've got this Black gay person. Oh, great. A double minority. Let's go to him. Let's get him included in the things. And so that did not make me feel great. So what I think that you guys could do maybe is maybe send out an email, maybe do a letter where you actually are asking for advice from your workers and not just singling out the Black people or the minorities, everyone. And then that way you can kind of take and get the information that you get and you can customize what you guys are doing for the individual people that are at your company. Another thing that I think would be great for you guys to do is that, yes, we have a Black History Month, which is February, but why do we have to just limit that to just February? Why can't we celebrate Blackness all year round? And so maybe that's something that you guys could work on to do, figuring out major African-American leaders' birthdays and, you know, celebrating that not just in February. If their birthday's in July, celebrate them. Maybe some of the inventors, if they invented telephones, like posting fun facts like that around the office could definitely be a place that would make, you know, me feel comfortable. Like, wow, look at them. They are definitely celebrating our heritage. And a lot of the times people always want to separate Black history from American history. Like, no. It's the same, because guess what? Black history is American history. And so I think that if that could be a very inclusive way for you guys to show your pride and to show your support by not just celebrating it once a month or not just highlighting it once a month. I think another great idea is like a community suggestion box. You know, if a person feels uncomfortable or they feel like they were unjust, that they have a place that they can write about what's happening, or write what something that has made them feel uncomfortable, or write something that they feel like could change, that is like, you know, systematically racist that you guys may not realize, and that way that they can put, you know, their thoughts and opinions in writing, and that could be heard by the discussion board. Another great thing that I think is very much so making sure that their voice is heard. And I'm not sure what your committee looks like, but if you don't have any minorities or if you don't have any people of color on that board, maybe, and not just going to them and saying, hey, you want to be on this board, maybe personally getting to know them, going out of your way to figuring out things that they like, going out of your way to make conversation, to really get to know them on a personal level, and then explain to them the board that you're on and that they you would really love their voice on it. And so having them a part of everything that you're doing, because it's one thing to want to plan something for it, but it's another thing to actually have that representation on the board, I think could make a world of difference as well too. Also, not being afraid to stand up in the workplace. If you hear somebody saying something that is, you know, a derogatory slang or something, like you as a, you know, white man, you standing up and saying like, hey, that's not appropriate. I think that really speaks volumes as well too. And just, you know, making sure that workplace is free for everyone and that everyone feels comfortable. So it's definitely a lot of things that you can do. But my biggest suggestion is just get to know everyone, get to know, make an attempt to reach out to everyone, and making sure that you're hearing everyone's voice, I think is that's the biggest thing that you guys can do. Because if you are reaching out to everyone, then everyone feels like their voice is heard. I know a lot of times for minority people, it's that when people single you out, even whether or not if it's in a good way, you know, for wanting to hear our voice, it still is this weird, uncomfortable thing. They're like, why are you singling me out? Why you ain't going to Karen? Why you ain't going to Barbara? Like, why are you just coming to me? So I feel like that way, if your efforts are really to uplift and to celebrate your black workers, then that way you're getting everyone and you're not making it seem like you are, it's forced, and it's not making it seem like you're putting the spotlight on them. And don't expect for them to speak for all black people. Don't make that generalization. Don't make that, because a lot of the times I feel like, you know, with my friends and not of color, they look to me for the answers for all of the black community. We don't have that. We can only answer for how we feel. And guess what? Everyone is different. And so, again, I think that the more individualized you make your approach, the more sincere it will be felt. And so I think that if you go with that model, you can't go wrong. And so, I mean, that's my advice for you, baby boy. Please slide back into them DMs and let me know whether or not you felt that was helpful. If not, then we can even have a discussion on our own and talk about it off the podcast, because I love to further the conversation. But again, thank you so much, Matt, for reaching out and entrusting with my advice. I really appreciate that. And thank you. And again, like Nasir said, if anyone that's listening would like advice with Bryce, feel free to email me at purplepantspodcast@gmail.com. And listen, write whatever you want. You want to stay anonymous, say, Bryce, keep me anonymous. And I absolutely will. If not, then we'll talk about it on air. But like, great. But I love advice with Bryce, because I love the fact that you guys feel so comfortable and you guys trust me. And that to me really means the world to me. So I can't thank you guys enough. But yes, and that's going to conclude this week's Advice with Bryce.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
And we are on to this week's Freak of the Week, and I am very excited for this one because it's very plump. It's very peachy, okay? So this week on social media was very overwhelming for me, and so I had to just take it in small doses just because it was just such a lot. And so when I would obviously check, I would see a lot of the support and people tweeting me, and I was like very, very grateful for that. And I had seen one tweet that my follower Linder Nino wrote, hoping Bryce Isaiah sees his favorite Zaddies in this pic and it brings a little lightness to his day. And baby, did it ever. Now, before I explain to you the lusciousness of this pic, I just have to give a RHAP plug to my girl Allie Lasher and Brian Cohen. You know, they do the wrap up for the challenge, and I went on there and we talked about the challenge. And y'all know I watched the challenge and it was good. And I even saw an episode with Josh Martinez through there drinking in his swaggy pee. But anyway, that ain't what we talking about. So you guys know I watched the challenge. And so, yes, so this pic was actually from one of, I think, the Twitter account of a fan page called at the challenge 35 underscore. And baby, listen, the tweet reads challenge day. In honor of it being male elimination, I hope you all enjoy this photo. And I clicked on the photo and baby, it was all of the guys left in the challenge so far. And they were all turned to their backsides and they had their booty out. Ooh, listen. Okay. I know some of them, I wasn't excited to see all of their bum bums. But listen, when I saw Corey, okay, Corey, listen, I was ready to be on Team Mom. I'm ready to have your baby, Corey. Listen, Nelson was on there, Kyle, Johnny Bananas, Rogan, Fessy, and Josh Martinez. But baby, listen, so y'all are clear. I was here for Nelson and Corey. Corey, come on, Corey, I'm ready to film Team Mom. Okay, listen, OG. Which it won't, Corey, but yes, they definitely, all of the guys on the Challenge 35 in this photo are the freak of the week. So listen, please go to this Twitter page called the Challenge 35 underscore and let them know they done got the freak of the week. Or listen, go to Corey, but listen, no, listen, go to Corey page, okay? And don't even tag the Purple Pants podcast, tag me, okay, Bryce Isaiah, and let him know his future baby mom, Bryce, is tagging him as the freak of the week. The freak of the week always brings me so much joy, but also so much sadness because it means we are at the end of another great podcast. But before this podcast ends, if you can make sure that you subscribe to the Purple Pants podcast on Apple Podcasts, come on, write your boy a review, give me a 5-star rating, come on, yes, let's get this podcast charted, let's amplify some melanated voices. And listen, guys, the marathon still continues. Continue to do your research on Black issues. Continue to do your research on what causes that you can support. Continue to speak out about injustices, because listen, the marathon continues. It ain't over, okay? We keeping our foot on the gas. Until next time, you guys know where to find me. Issa.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.